Welcome to C3 San Diego. Need something fresh, real, and powerful in your life? Connect with us on social media, get live stream service notifications, podcasts, and up-to-date information on upcoming events. We are so glad you're joining us for a powerful, life-transforming message from one of our C3 San Diego pastors. We would love to hear about how God is impacting your life through this ministry. Please share your experience with us at info@c3sandiego.com. If you'd like to be a part of what C3 Church is doing in the city of San Diego and beyond, you can contribute financially by going to c3give.com and choosing the giving option that works best for you. We hope you enjoy this message.
We love San Diego. We love what God is doing in San Diego. God is shifting something in the soil of this city. I had the privilege of yesterday being at the Propel Conference at the Rock Church. All right, yay. And we just saw what happens when a couple thousand women come together and say, we are not content. We want something more for our sons and our daughters. We want something more for our nation. And so I was so thrilled to get to be here. And you guys, I got some team members here. Sarah and Katie, come on, stand up and wave. Okay, these are some of the people that make John and I look smart. Okay, so Sarah and Katie, I turned over, I was like, oh my gosh, they're here. So I came running and grabbed them because I was just so in awe. But anyway, you guys can stop playing or I start singing. But I love that Alec is here. I love that Alec has a chance to be in this house and learn in this house. I'm going to show you the rest of my family. I'm going to throw them up real quick because I need to introduce you to one in particular. So there's Alec. There's Alec. But I need you to meet the one I'm holding right there in my arms. That is Lizzie. That is the wild one. Look at her face. She went rogue during this photo shoot. She decided to unpotty train during the photo shoot. She tried to pull off her underwear and demand diapers. We were like, you potty trained 3 weeks ago. We are not regressing. But she did. She unpotty trained last October, and she didn't re-potty train until July. And so when you have a child like that, you realize you've just inherited the curse of your mother. See, I had 4 boys, and with each boy I birthed, I said, thank God I will never have the daughter just like me. But my sweet daughter-in-law got her in Lizzie, and so I said, I need to do something to make up for what I have passed genetically through my son, through my daughter-in-law, in the fact of Lizzie. So anyway, I wrote a book called Lizzie the Lioness. And it's actually a fictionalized true story. There was an incident in Ethiopia where a little girl was abducted and a pride of lions came out, surrounded her, chased off her abductors, and waited till the girl was rescued. And so I decided that I would make Lizzie, my youngest granddaughter, the littlest lioness, because she hates that she has limits. She hates that she can't do what everything Sophia and Asher does. And so I had to actually position her to understand that sometimes the most courageous thing we can do is ask for help. And our children are living in a day and a time where they need to understand that courage happens in community. And we as parents, we try so hard, but let's talk about this. Our kids come home from school and we ask them, how was your day? You know what you do. You say, fine, it's fine. At dinner, you try to engage them in deep, meaningful conversations. So what happened at school today? Nothing. But then when you're putting them to bed, they want to unburden their soul. They want to tell you all the painful things that happened. And you're like, no, not now. I'm brain dead now. I cannot help you. I cannot advise you. But the truth is, at bedtime, children are tender, but parents are tired. And so I wanted to create a resource that would tell a story of rescue and help, and then create a conversation at the end of it where you don't even have to think. You can just read the questions to your kids. And so I actually just got a great, beautiful story from a mom. And one mom said it was really embarrassing. I was reading it to my kids and I burst into tears. Because the truth is, and let's talk about this. Mamas, daddies, your kids do not follow what you say. They follow what you model. And if you are not asking for help, they're not going to believe you that it's courageous to ask for help. And so you need to go ahead and ask for help. But she said her son had opened up. She knew he was going through something at school, but he was not talking about it. And he opened up for the first time. So this is for 4 to 8 year olds. We want courageous mothers to raise courageous children. So we have a resource app. But that's not what I'm talking about. You know your pastor's crazy. You know Pastor Juergen, he decided to launch a series called Truth Wars. I think it's preempting Star Wars. I don't know if you've seen the trailer, but it looks like Rey might have gone to the dark side. I don't want to ruin anything, but we need to be people who understand Truth Wars. And so I'm going to roll in a video that's going to set me up for what I'm preaching today. I think we might need audio.
Hey, bro, look, check it out. Labradoodle.
What?
Yeah, right down there.
Oh, I love a good breed.
It's so good.
Yes, half lab, half moodle.
Wait, what?
Incredible.
Moodle?
Yeah.
No, that's mm-hmm. not a thing. Ever.
No, no, it totally is. A moodle.
Isn't that Dave from Econ?
Oh, yeah.
What is he doing up here?
He's probably just enjoying the view, man.
Wait, isn't Dave blind? We gotta warn him. Hey, Dave.
Whoa, bro. Whoa. What are you doing? You can't just tell Dave what to do.
Wait, why?
Are you blind?
No.
Okay, so then you don't know what Dave's gone through. You can't really relate to him, man. Just let him be. He's totally fine.
He's literally slipping right now.
Okay, you're gonna get all up on him for slipping. Like, everyone slips from here and there.
I don't care if he slips. I'm just trying to keep a guy from falling off a cliff.
No, okay, listen. What I think you need to do right now, so you just need to love him. You need to not point out
his weaknesses. What does that have to do with anything?
It has everything to do with everything, okay? Like, if you point out his weaknesses, he won't feel loved, he won't feel accepted.
I'm just trying to keep a guy from going off the cliff.
No,
you're not even stopping. Hey, Dave!
No, whoa, stop it. You speak out against blind people, so many people will be upset with you. No, so many people won't like you. But also, what if he doesn't like us anymore? You ever thought about that?
Dave will be dead. I need to say, hey,
no,
Dave!
No,
Dave! No. Is someone there?
Yeah. Hey, Dave, how's it going? It's Charlie from school.
Oh, hey, man.
I'm doing this for Dave's birthday.
Maybe you can help me out. I seem to have lost a trail somewhere. You want to tell me if I'm going the right way?
Maybe he is lost.
Yes.
You're right. We should still just encourage him. Yeah, hey, no, Dave, you know, you're doing great, man. I love that you're out here, man, too. I'm proud of you, being out on this trail.
You're doing great, man. You're doing great.
Oh. Okay, thanks, man. I guess I am going the right way.
Watch, he'll figure it out.
You just gotta love him through his problems.
Yeah, you got it, man.
Dave, what are you doing? What? Dave?
It actually says, which kind of friend are you? Which kind of friend are you? Who's going to be a casualty of Truth Wars? Are we gonna actually tell the truth? Are we gonna tell people, it's okay, you're doing great, when they're actually on a path to destruction? And so I wanna kinda just talk about this as a Sicilian grandmother. I am gonna work out some dynamics that maybe some other people are scared to say, but now that I'm 57, I just don't care. Okay, so Charles Spurgeon said, to pursue union at the expense of truth is treason to the Lord Jesus. We are trying to be friends with the world when we are supposed to be a friend to the world. And being a friend to the world means we tell them the truth. There cannot be unity without truth, and we are trying to understand this dynamic of being loving and being truth tellers. We're going to have to learn how to do both of this, because the truth is that the pursuit of truth and the longing for truth is woven deep within all of us. Even though each of us has lied, even though each of us has been lied to, we know that without truth, we are ships without rudders, driven by every whim, every storm, every wind of doctrine. And that cannot help but drive us to the brink of destruction. But if we choose to be a people who pursue truth, if we understand that Christianity is a battle, not a dream, if we understand that the truth will cause us to rightly divide, and we decide not to be divisive people, but to be people who use the word of God to rightly divide between soul and spirit, joint and marrow, thought and intent, first and foremost in our own hearts, that truth would abide in us so that the truth can be seen in us. Rather than argue about what is true, we must remember that truth is more than a what. Truth is a who. Truth is alive. Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. For this statement to be the truth, each and every element of this must stand on its own as true. If Jesus is one of the many ways and not merely the only way, if Jesus is maybe the best way, then he lied. He lied. And if he has lied, then he's not the truth. And if he's not the truth, then he's not the way. But see, I believe that Jesus isn't the best way. I believe that Jesus is the only way. And when Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life, and no one comes to the Father except by me, how dare we say anything different? How dare we make it look like it's anything different? You know, I'm an ENFP. Do I have any other ENFPs? Okay, awesome. We are nerve endings. We want everybody happy. We want everybody included. We want everybody to win. It means I pass my children money under the table during Monopoly. We are the people that, like, everybody wins. You get a car. You get it. Everybody. We are going to let everybody in. But here's the way. It is. I am not Jesus, and I am not God, and so I don't get to pick, even though I love universalism, I love it, everybody wins. Jesus said, I'm sorry, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the lie. And if Jesus lied and misrepresented who he was, and he is actually one of many ways, then he cannot be the truth. He is, in fact, the way. He must be the truth. He must be the life as well. And we have to have those three cords wrapped safely around the convictions of our life. Jesus is absolutely all that he says he is, or he's absolutely none of it. It is impossible for him to not be all of it. Augustine said, where I found truth, there I found I, my God, who is truth itself. But see, our culture doesn't want convictions. It doesn't want truth. It doesn't want absolutes. They say these things are too harsh. These things are outdated. Our culture will push back when you say there is absolute truth. And that is because they have been led. They're too confining. They're too harsh. But absolutes are absolutely necessary. Why? It's because absolutes are foundational. Go ahead and try to build a foundation on something that is fluid. Whatever you build will end up sinking. Absolutes are the foundational, non-moving things that we have to build our lives on. Our Christianity has to be on an absolute. We have to absolutely believe that Jesus was the Son of God. We have to absolutely believe that he is the Word made flesh. We have to absolutely believe that, because the truth is the rock, and the principles that protect us need to be absolutes. They cannot change all of the time. And we have to have convictions that anchor us to truth. See, we live in a day and a time where convictions are not, they're not popular. Opinions are popular. Everybody has an opinion about something, and everybody can say whatever they want to say about whatever is happening. And some people think that's a good thing, and it can be. It can be if you use it correctly. But it can also be a very destructive thing. Now, I know that in the last week, there's been a lot of hashtag Me Too. Do you know what I'm talking about? Women finding out that I wasn't the only one sexually assaulted. I wasn't the only one sexually molested or abused or harassed. And that's good that people know that they're not alone. But there comes a moment where what happened to us was true. But the truth in our life is actually stronger than what was done to us. And we have to determine as women that what was done for us is more powerful than what was done to us. Because if not, we're going to stay in the pain of our past. And my past is not my truth. My past is not my truth. What was done to me was true of me, but it is not true for me anymore. And we have to be a people that move beyond the pain into the promise of God. And when we move beyond the pain into the promise of God, we have to walk in truth. See, the truth is, when you stop pointing fingers at other people, you have to take responsibility. When you stop blaming, you are no longer a victim. You get to be part of the solution. And sometimes people would rather be a refugee or a prisoner of war, of what was said about them or what was done to them, than to move into the truth that Jesus actually is the way, the truth, and the life. And he is moving you out of your past pain into your future purpose. Whatever he's done to you, redeem it. Redeem it. Don't let that offense stay in your heart. Because the truth is, it's not just men who are abusive. Women can be abusive as well. And so we need to move beyond, I believe, in a time when people are hurting. We need to say, I identify with that pain in your past, but I'm going to cause you to identify with your destiny in your future. Our forefather, Benjamin Franklin, warned, half a truth is often a great lie. We have a lot of half-truths right now. We have a lot of partial truths that are woven with very dangerous lies. That is why you can hear something that sounds right and feels wrong. You'll say, I don't know what it is, but there's something just not right with it. See, the counselor is telling you, that spirit of truth, that spirit of wisdom is telling you, you better check this. According to the eternal word of God, you better check this, because you know it feels wrong, because there is something that is not truthful. These are days where deception is going to abound. And we need to be people who don't just say, well, I don't want to tell the truth because I might lose a friendship. No, you need to tell the truth, because we have the truth to set captives free. The Bible says that you will know the truth and the truth will make you free. Do you want your friends bound or do you want your friends free? Now, I get it. You don't want to speak the truth, because a lot of times the church has mishandled truth. We are more known for what we are against than what we are for. And that is because we have spoken the truth in love without living the truth in love. We must first live the truth in our own personal lives. We must live in such a way that what we say does not conflict with how we live. And so as we become people who are allowing the truth to have its way with us, then the truth will actually be recognized in us, and other people will say, I don't know what you have, but you have something in you that I need in a day and a time where evil is being called good and good is being called evil and confusion is on a high level where we say, we don't know what is true. The media lies to us. We lie to ourselves. Do you understand that? That we will end up saying things that aren't even true about ourselves. You might say things like, you know, I'm never going to make it. That's a lie. That's a lie. There's things that people will limit themselves with lies. When you say things like, my past is my future, you have forgotten that Jesus said that you are forgetting the things that are behind and you are straining and moving forward to the things that are ahead. You have to speak the word of God over your life. A lot of people will say, all roads lead to Rome. Well, first of all, that wasn't even true during the Roman Empire. Did the roads in China lead to Rome? No. Did the roads in Canada lead to Rome? No. It was just an arrogant civilization that my ancestors are from that were like, we are the measure of everything. And you know, as soon as we begin to think that we are the measure of everything, we set ourselves up for a huge fall. And as time marched on, the Roman Empire fell from its lofty height of power. And this saying no longer applied to anything. It is a figure of speech that meant that all paths eventually lead to the same place. But what was once true for the Roman Empire was never true for the kingdom of God. God's truth does not shift and morph at the balance of power and thought changes. Truth is more than timeless. It is eternal. It is eternal. And the road to God begins with a door, Jesus Christ. Why would God have sent his only begotten son if there was another option? Why send Jesus if he was only even the best option? I wouldn't give my only begotten son if there was another option. I'd be like, y'all need to figure that out. I wouldn't volunteer any of my sons unless there was another way. Our Jesus is our atonement. It is a mistake to believe all roads lead to salvation, even though all roads will lead to an encounter with Jesus Christ. Philippians 2:9 says, therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father, under the earth. Do you understand there's knees and voices that are going to bow and declare his supremacy that are now under the earth? That's not talking about people buried in the grave. It's talking about the demonic realm. It's talking about those angels that left their first assignment, that there will come a time where they will acknowledge his supremacy, but they will not enjoy his salvation. They will just acknowledge that he was Lord. Do you remember that when Jesus was casting out demons, they were like, why have you come to torment us before our time? They understood that the time was going to come where they were going to have to bend their knee and they were going to have to yield their authority. But here's the thing. Truth comes with authority. And it is not the truth you know, but the truth that you live that gives you authority in the Spirit. And the church must begin to live the truth in their own lives so that we have authority over principalities and powers and rulers of wickedness in high places. Some reason that the truth is relative. You saw the video where Alec was like, are you a blind person? Do you understand what blind people struggle with? Don't make them feel bad. Just encourage them. They're like, whatever the moment is, however that feels, perhaps you believe that what is true for you isn't necessarily true for me. We all can have our own truth. Well, we're not talking about the same thing then. Because I'm not talking about true of. I'm talking about truth. Because, see, truth does not change. And what is true for one must be true for all, or it's not truth. True of. Okay, let's talk about some true ofs. I'm half Sicilian. I have four sons. I have four grandchildren. But true of might change for me in 3 years. In 3 years, I might have six grandchildren. And so what was true of me now is subject to change. So true of is different than truth. Truth is, I am a daughter of the Most High God. That truth is never going to change. You have certain truths in your life that gives you an allegiance to a kingdom of truth, and it is not an issue of true of. Conversely, what was true about me 10 years ago may not be true of me now. Do you know I have opinions that I would have killed for 10 years ago that I don't even hold anymore. but my convictions is not the same as my opinions. And we have got to be a people of conviction. We need to put some stakes in the ground. What do we really believe? What is unmovable? What is unshakable in our lives? Truth can never be relative. If it is, it's not truth. Now, I want to define this for you. When truth is tied to perspective, it is called relativism. Merriam-Webster defines relativism as the belief that different things are true, right, etc., for different people or at different times. Under this definition, truth varies constantly. The ideology of relativism undermines the very meaning of truth. For something to be truth, it must be true at all times. If this wasn't so, then someone could lie and say it was their truth. Perception cannot be allowed to determine truth. If it did, we would all be seeing things through a different lens. We need an immovable, adamant truth that anchors our souls to the perspective of our Creator. As Christians, we cannot believe that truth is relative, because we actually believe that truth is our relative. We believe it is our big brother, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Master. We are related to truth. Relativism will conform you to the culture, and truth will transform you to the image of Jesus. We need to allow the truth to transform us. Truth does not vary. Being the truth, Jesus said, I am the truth. Being the truth is a very different matter than telling the truth or even describing yourself accurately. Even if it were possible for any of us to be completely truthful our entire lives, we could never be the truth. We can tell the truth. We can live the truth. We can love the truth. We can hate the truth. We can deny the truth. We can believe the truth, but only Jesus Christ can claim to be the truth. Buddha had many true sayings, but he did not claim to be the truth. He claimed to be a man in pursuit of truth. Muhammad had true sayings, but Muhammad did not claim to be the truth. He claimed to be a man in pursuit of truth. Jesus did not say, I pursue truth, or did he say, I am one of many truths? He said, I am the truth. And when we say all roads lead to Rome, which is salvation, we call Jesus a liar. Now, we need to think about that, because it is that strong. And we have a generation who has seen us mishandle truth, seen us not speak the truth in love, and they have decided to call everything love. See, God is love, but love is not God. And we have somehow exalted love above truth. And we have said, we're just going to be loving by saying everything's okay and everything is your truth and therefore it's your right. Well, yes, we all have a right to make choices. But the truth is that as Christians, as those that say we are adherents to the Word of God, we have to choose to love what God loves and hate what God hates. And when you say, wait, no, a God of love would never hate, he actually does. Because God hates what unmakes love. God hates when people tell lies. God hates pride and arrogance because it puts us in opposition to him. God hates hands that shed innocent blood. There is six things, and then it goes to seven things in the book of Proverbs that God hates. These are things that unmake those he loves. We have to be truth tellers so that people can be remade in the image of their Creator. We have to be people who understand that you cannot hate sex trafficking and love pornography. You can't do it. because pornography is the catalyst of sex trafficking. And so if you're going to hate sex trafficking, you have to hate pornography, because our God, who loves people, does not love anything that distorts and diminishes people made in his image, which means we in the church who hate sex trafficking have to get alone with God and ask him to shine the light of truth into our world and separate any light from darkness, so that we have nothing in us that would be unmade. Nothing in us that would be unmade in his image. We cannot be entertained by the very things that destroy people's lives, because God hates those things that destroy people's life. So what is truth? What is truth? This has been like the theory and theological discussion since the beginning of time. What is truth? What is truth? It sounds so deep and meaningful. You know, when King Theopolis was talking to Paul, he's like, so what is truth? People will use that to try to hide behind something. But you know what? We actually know what truth is. John 17, 17 says, sanctify them in truth. Your word is truth. He's praying to the Father, the prayer that has yet to be answered, that we would be one. We cannot be one around lies. We can only be one in truth. And we will never come into the unity of doctrine, but we better come into the unity of truth. We better come into the unity of faith. We better come into the unity of love. We better come into the unity of hope. We need to be a people who understand that there is much more that unites us than what divides us, but we cannot call lies truth and then make us one, because that's what Spurgeon said would be treason to Jesus Christ. We cannot say that the very things that Jesus died to set us free from are freedom. We cannot call the unholy holy. We cannot call the broken whole. But what we need to do is say, let me just tell you something. Your identity is not your sexuality. Your identity is not your possessions. Your identity is not your relationships. Your identity is not your past. Your identity is your relationship to your Creator. You are a son and you are a daughter of the Most High God, and that is the truth you have to build your life on. You cannot heal yourself. We are telling people things, getting them to build their lives with untempered mortar, and then stepping back in shock and watching it crash down and saying, oh wow, what a mess. You didn't tell them the truth. I'm so thankful people told me the truth. Baby girl, you're never going to find your joy in alcoholism. Baby girl, you're never going to get what you are looking for in a man. You are never going to get what you are looking for in money or possession. You were created for God's glory. And we need to tell a generation that they were created for the glory of God, which cannot be separated from the holiness of God, which cannot be separated from the truth of God, which means we're going to have to sanctify our lives with truth. And how do we do that? We go to his word. We go to his word and we say, your word is truth. This world is a lie. This world is temporary. This world is passing away, and all of the promises it makes to you, you will find that they are empty. But God's word is truth. Sanctify. What does this mean to sanctify? It means to separate yourself from the light, separate yourself from the darkness, and step into the light and the truth. Thy word is truth. Oh, but I like this blogger. I like her truth. No, I'm sorry. If it is in contrary to the word of God, it is not truth. Well, but everything is changing in our day. We've advanced so far, really. Because I've never seen the world in such a mess as right now. Every single day I read of human atrocities that I cannot even believe even exist in our time. If we have gotten the idea that we are the measure of wisdom, then it would seem that this earth has weighed us in the balance and found us wanting. The very earth itself is in upheaval, looking for the sons and the daughters of God who will sanctify themselves in truth, saying God's word is truth. It's truth. God's word is truth. Truth is not subjective. It's not subjective. Yet one day we will all be subject to truth. God said, I love this. He didn't say, I'm not going to judge you. Do you know, he said, my words will judge you. Do you know what the judgment says? This isn't about salvation. This is about rewards. God's word has already gone to the throne room of God. We know what the word says, and it will weigh us. Did we live in truth, or did we embrace a lie? I'm just going to tell you right now, it will be easier for you to live in a lie. It will be easier for you to go with the world. But if you believe that Jesus is the way, that Jesus is the truth, that Jesus is the life, and that no one comes to the Father except through him, then you really actually have no choice. Proverbs 30, verse 5 says, every word, not just New Testament words. I feel like some people, they drop the Old Testament because they think it's an angry, mean God. They only go to the New Testament, but they seem to have forgotten the book of Revelations. Have you ever met Jesus in the book of Revelations? Jesus, that his like buddy John, who laying on his chest, like turns and hears the voice and falls down as one who is dead. Do you want to go against that Jesus when Jesus has the face that is like a peregrine sun? Do you know what that means? That means a sun at its zenith, that he is a God who lives in unapproachable light. There is not even a shadow of darkness in him, not a shadow of turning. He is not saying, guess what? I'm not the God of the Old Testament. He actually sent his son to reveal that he was never an angry father trying to kill everybody. He was trying to protect them, so that a one pure, spotless lamb, Jesus, could come. So go ahead and eat bacon in the New Testament, but don't you dare think that the moral code dropped. Because in the Old Testament, it was all about if you have adultery, if you commit adultery. But in the New Testament, it's if you even look at a woman or look at a man to lust after them, you've already committed adultery in your heart. It has gone from the outside to the inside because Jesus came to make truth real to us, to renew us in truth. Every word of God proves true. He is a shield to those who take refuge in him. Do not add to his words, lest he rebuke you and you be found a liar. Don't you dare call holy what he has already said is unholy. Don't you dare call freedom what he actually died to set you free from. We need to be a people who understand that idolatry is bondage, that greed is bondage, that gossip is bondage. It's not just same sex. There are things that are going on in the church that God wants to deal with in our lives, and he wants to set us free so that we can live in truth. Psalm 43:3 says, send out your light and your truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me to your holy hill and to your dwelling. Light and truth are faithful guides. Light illuminates our way and truth is the signpost. But when the markers are moved, people easily lose their way. Matthew 7 says, enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction. Did you hear me? Wide and easy. Wide and easy. And those who enter by it are many, for the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. See, I don't believe God would be so exclusive that he would just have one way. You know what? I'm sorry, he made a way. And when you make the way, you get to say what the way is. We are not the way makers, he is the way maker. And he actually isn't exclusive. He says to everybody, come. Everybody come. And then he tells us the way to come. But he doesn't lie and say the way is going to be easy. He says it's actually going to be narrow and it's going to be hard. There's going to be friends that you are going to lose, but there is going to be family that you are going to find in the house of God. When you go the narrow way, there is going to be light. There is going to be truth. There is going to be strength. There's going to be refining of you, and you're going to be more like Jesus. Why did we think that becoming Christians was going to make us popular? Why did we think that? Why did we think that? Jesus said, if they hated me, they're going to hate you. It says that light has come into the world, and the darkness hates it. because it exposed their darkness. You have to be people who are friends to the world, not friends with the world. People of empathy, people of compassion, saying, I understand what you are looking for, but you will never find it on those dark, open, wide paths. You need to find it in the deep and the narrow ways of God. So we need to be those people. We need to count the cost, and we need to move into that. We need to be people who understand that even if the truth is inconvenient, even if the truth is seemingly impossible, that's where we have the grace of God, so we can walk in it. Even if the truth is unpopular in our time, we're going to speak words of truth first and foremost to ourselves so that we can live the truth in front of a world that wants to believe that actually Jesus is that way, the truth, and that life. I believe that God is doing something strong and deep in San Diego. I'm going to challenge you to ask the Spirit of God to come in and use his light and use his word to refacet your life. You know that you are longing for something more than you have yet to see. That is because the truth has a longing and a pull inside of you that you would live in the way that you were created in Jesus' name. I hope this spoke to you. There are some of you here, I know that the hand of God is on your life, and you want to be that faithful friend. You want to be that truthful witness. And I believe that as you live the truth, and God is going to use you to exercise the truth to set captives free in Jesus' name. God bless you.
Thank you so much for joining us online. We hope you had a powerful experience. We want to take this time to personally help you navigate the next steps in becoming connected. If you made a decision for Christ today, need prayer, or want more information about our church, go to our website, c3sandiego.com. And if you didn't get a chance to give online during service and would like to contribute financially, you can go to c3give.com and click on the giving option that works best for you. We look forward to hearing from you. See you at church.